go. We are on the air for this Wednesday, March the 10th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears in studio with Glenn Coble today. And we will discuss a little bit of everything going on. And heavens knows there's no lack of things going on in Marion right now. Again, we thank Police Chief Jay McDonald for coming on last hour, giving us an update on the Cummins Avenue story and everything else going on in Marion that time permitted to talk to. The toll-free line is always up and running, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz anytime you'd like, and we can discuss anything on your mind. Glenn, how are you?
I'm good. I thought, is it Police Chief?
Police Chief.
I thought he did, he sounded very, very... I'm trying to think of a word. He sounded very good. He sounded like he was on top of stuff, and I'm glad to hear that.
Well, it is good. You know, that story, which, you know, I just recounted to you from Monday evening. Mm-hmm. What do you make of a story like that? An 80-year-old woman shot and killed, a family pet shot and killed, and you walk in, and there's the 78-year-old husband at the table and stabs himself in front of police officers.
Yeah, being 74 myself, I'm close enough. I guess it kind of depends on what the rest of the life was around all of this, and I can kind of see why people give up. And that sounds like what happened. He gave up and figured it was better for his wife and his dog to be gone without, since he was. Sounded like he was suicidal.
So now that's interesting. So how do you get to that point?
Lack of money, lack of community care, lack of hope. A lot of people don't have hope right now because of this COVID thing. Now there should be some hope coming. As a matter of fact, less than a week from now, I'll get my second shot. That makes me feel good. But I think those things, we're in, America is in need of hope right now, and we just don't, we're getting it, but we haven't had it for a while.
You know, back to the beginning days of this pandemic, because we just passed the 1-year mark of the mm-hmm. first case in Ohio yesterday, and the thing about it is, and what I always feared from day one, and it was never carelessness, and I still say it to this day, more than a year later now, was... The pandemic is one thing. Panic is another. And panic has ensued at times, and it has brought depression, and it has brought no hope, and it has brought a change in lifestyle that has depressed people. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. And I wish that would not have happened, because a year is not, I mean, it seems like a long time, but in the grand scheme of people's lives, it's not. And it, we have been given tools along the way. Nothing has stayed the same the entire time. We had a vaccine available to us within a year of this whole thing starting. And I think sometimes the panic was far worse than the pandemic itself.
I think there was more concern than panic. I think a lot of people were concerned because other people weren't concerned. I always get concerned when I walk into a grocery and there's somebody walking around that you know he was told, or she was told, but usually it was a he, to put a mask on, and they took it off once they got inside. I'm concerned. That concerns me. It does not panic me. I just stay away from them. I know how to protect myself. But yeah, you're right. There was some panic, and panic brought on by people probably didn't know what they were talking about.
Well, I think we are all concerned every day about a lot of things, mm-hmm. and concern, I don't think 9 times out of 10, it doesn't bring depression. Concern is just, okay, I got my eye on that. I'm going to do what I have to do to keep that where it needs to be. Panic is where, I mean, heaven forbid, in the depression department, panic is associated with depression. Panic attacks can bring clinical depression, can bring high anxiety, and that is the difference. Concern, I think, you know, even people who were not for the masks, even people who didn't take it as seriously as others, I think they all had some kind of concern. There was always a little concern. Panic, I think, is where there was a lot of problem. And that brought, we're never going to get out of this. It's going to last forever. And that brings depression.
Now, see, I never heard anybody talk like that. No one that I knew said, we're not going to get out of this. Almost everybody I know to a person said, we are. You know, this is going to end, but we just got to stick it out. That's why I don't like to use the word panic, because panic to me is something where you're running around the room with your hair on fire and you're going a little crazy. And I'm sure there were people like that, but I didn't know those people.
When I know two strangers who are getting in a fight in public and I saw it happen, yeah. To me that's panic.
Yeah, you did see that.
I did see that. So to me, when I saw somebody put their hands on a grocery store manager, when I saw somebody knock the hinges off a sliding door that is electronically controlled, I call that panic.
Well, it's not only is it panic, but it's ignorance as well. I mean, the ignorance of people to allow themselves to be panicked.
But I think there was more panic, and I think a lot of panic came from the people who we never saw because they didn't leave the house. Clearly,
my wife didn't leave the house, but she was not panicked.
I think a lot of people were, though. I think if you lived alone, I think maybe if you were of a certain age, maybe over the age of 80, and your spouse is gone and your kids can't come visit you, I think there probably was panic.
You know, that was one of the things that my wife and I struggled with. My daughter-in-law is a nurse. She's been a nurse for ever since my son married her at OSU. And right now she's in charge of calling people to tell them that their shots are here. So she's out of harm's way, thank goodness. But we really wanted to see our grandchildren, and but we knew we couldn't. And so she figured it a way that we could all be together about 3 or 4 months ago, way before, you know, the COVID shots were available, and we stayed very far apart from each other. We were all masked, and we went for a walk down by a river where there was no one else. So you didn't have to panic. Now I'm wondering about this this, I guess it's called a murder, the man killing his wife and his dog. I wonder if the lady was suffering from dementia, or if, you know, if there was a reason why he felt he'd put her out of her misery. Right now, I know this, it's not intended to be flippant, but I have a little puppy dog that I'm pretty sure we're going to have to put down soon. And I can imagine if it was my wife in that situation, like my puppy is now, I would kind of want to be able to put her down to avoid her pain and stuff like that. I wouldn't do it. It's against the law, but, you know.
Well, here's the problem with that. I don't think it's ever in anybody's best interest, even if it were legal, to shoot somebody in your house.
No.
Especially your wife.
Unfortunately, because we have laws against mercy killing, which is what Kevorkian was it?
Yeah, but is that merciful?
Well, I don't know.
I just don't know mine shooting to judge somebody.
Because I wasn't. You know, that one is definitely not merciful. But because we don't allow it, some people go to strange lengths to take law into their own hands and do that sort of thing. It's kind of a depressing subject.
Well, I think people need to have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, when you're diagnosed, when you are still, if that were the case, and we don't know that that's the case here.
No, we don't.
But if you are diagnosed and you, you know, that would be a good time to discuss what you want to have happen.
We have a lot of help for people that are depressed like that. And the other problem is help costs money. We don't have universal health care. So therefore, there are people without means that have to go by their own volition and take law into their own hands. And, you know, we'll find out as this goes along. I hope that wasn't the situation. Actually, I just, there is no hope because it's already done. But I feel horrible for the family, and I mean the family outside that house.
Who, according to the chief, had no idea. When they called for the welfare check, they thought it might have been medical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, shocked. I think you would be. The chief said it was the most shocking thing he'd seen.
One of the worst days my father ever have, or at least that I ever saw him have, is he got a phone call from her. I don't remember what her last name was, but she was the daughter of my track coach. She called my dad and said, "Dad, Reverend Coble, we can't get into my dad's house. It's locked, and I'm sure he's there." So Dad and she went over, and they broke a window so that they could get in. And Dad found Mrs. Pfeiffer laying on the floor in her bathroom, and he had shot her from behind and then took his own life. And it's just a horrible way for the rest of the family. And I feel sorry for this family. I hope they can get through it.
That's why you should not stay. And the numbers are against it. It's something like 90% of the people go back to abusive relationships. People stay in abusive relationships. People stay in dysfunctional relationships. You can't. I think people give the wrong message a lot of times. When people are going through a rough patch, they will say, "Oh, stick it out. It'll get better. Don't worry about it." And you know what? They're not in their home. They're only getting told what they're getting told and what they see. I think, you know, in a lot of cases, it's better just to say to the person, "Do what you got to do."
But that person is saying exactly what you just said. "Oh, stick it out. I'm sorry. It'll never happen again." And they'd say that time. And I know people that this has happened to, and they've been told time and time again, and it doesn't quit. It's a pattern of behavior that this person has learned, and it doesn't quit. It just keeps on going. And my father had a lot of people that he had to counsel about that sort of thing. And it was back in the 50s and 60s when my dad was counseling people like that. It was not so easy. We didn't have places, battered women's homes and things like that. We didn't have places where people could go to get away from it and still be safe and healthy. And fortunately, we're getting a few of them, but not nearly enough.
But people who go to those places walk out of those places and go right back.
Yeah, if they do that, you know, you want to say, "Well, it's their own fault," but it isn't their own fault because they're stuck in a situation. Again, I say, go back to we don't provide our people that don't have any money. We don't provide them with any safety nets. We have a portion of our government that thinks safety nets is weakness, and it may not. In my opinion, it is not weakness. We need the safety nets for the folks that can't figure out how to get out from underneath an abusive marriage without because a lot of these women. And I remember Dad and Mom talking about it. These women would tell...
Here comes the break. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Tell you Scott, later. WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the Golden Voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Scott Spears and Glenn Coble back with you here on this Wednesday, March the 10th, 2021. 31 minutes past the hour. Glenn, you were talking about people going back to bad relationships. You want to finish that?
Yeah, Dad would say to my mother, I remember him talking about it, that the people that do go back, they go back because they feel they have no other choice. They don't have any money, and therefore they've got to go back because at least the guy that's beating them up is also putting food on the table for their children. And, you know, it's a tough
situation. Well, that's why people go back.
Yeah, it's a tough situation to be in, and I wish we had a better way of helping those people out. Right now, we're struggling between the people who want to help people and the people that think people are weak if they don't help themselves. This isn't the old West anymore. You can't help yourself all the
time. Well, I just wish that when the advice comes up, because people a lot of times do seek advice from other people, that the advice was not stick it out. That the and sometimes it's okay to stick it out if it's not abusive.
Oh, yeah.
But the point is that it's also okay to say, it's okay to leave. Say that to them. So, because a lot of times this is coming from your mother, your father, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, and that advice sometimes is curtailed with a little bit of a bias nature, just because they know you, they know who you're married to, they've spent holidays with you, a lot of times there are children involved. Well, of course they want you to stay together. But somebody needs to say, but it's okay to leave. You know, it's okay.
But if you say it's okay to leave, before you say that, have some plan on how you're going to help that person leave. Because if you just say leave, and the person just leaves, then they're out on the street with nothing, you know, to eat, nothing to take care of the kids.
In a lot of cases, it's better than dead.
Well, yeah, I suppose you're right. I'm not sure.
I'm talking about extreme here.
Yeah. Well, you got to get out if you're going to get killed, would say.
I would rather end up in the homeless shelter for a night than dead.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that.
So, but a lot of times people try to get you to work it out even when they know you've been physically. And you don't know how far somebody will go. If somebody will physically put their hands on you and do something, you don't know what their end is.
Mm-hmm.
Or you would leave.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody who got murdered ever thought they were going to, or they wouldn't have stayed.
I doubt it, yeah. I would assume you're absolutely right. But, you know, there is a point where sticking it out is better than not sticking it out. I've been married 51 years, and I can probably count three or four times, and they don't pop into my head right now, but I've probably had a handful of times where I thought, I'm not going to stick it out. And I would guarantee you that there were three or four times or more that my wife has thought, well, I'm not going to stick it out. I'm going to leave this SOB. But we stuck it out, and it's, you know, a great marriage. So.
But were they physical encounters?
No.
Right. That's a difference.
Yeah.
But
no, just loud noise.
Well, I want to come back to the pandemic for
sure.
A second, just because I do think
had both shots, haven't you?
No, not yet. I won.
You have one.
Okay. Yeah, but one thing I did notice in this whole pandemic was, and I found this out very early, and I stopped having conversations about it, because there were extremists on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why issues become extreme, because the people who believed it wasn't happening and the people who didn't believe who believed you shouldn't wear masks, that group, they went to the extreme. And then it was nobody should, and everybody who thinks that you should is nuts. And then on the opposite side, you had people who said, everybody should wear a mask, this is the way it is, and I can't stand people who don't, and anybody who doesn't should be thrown away. And you know what? You're not going to convince either side. I still see it completely divided every day when I look at a social media post. You have people who are all for it. You have people praising governors who are lifting sanctions. You have people praising governors who are keeping sanctions in place. It never will change. We are a country that loves to argue. And we love to argue. To me, I have my own feeling about it, and I live that feeling. I do what I need to do to get through this thing, and I have. I don't need to convince the world that my way is right. I'm just going to do my way.
Well, And that's all you can do, quite frankly. But I think you need to err on the side of science rather than on the side of yammering. And we have a lot of yammering right now, and from both of those sides that you mentioned. But I think it's more on the side of I'm not going to wear a mask. There's more yammering on that side than on the side that, well, if you don't wear a mask, I'm going to hate you or something like that, which that's about the only extreme I've ever seen going the other way. And I don't think you should hate anybody just because they decide not to wear a mask. You just stay away from them like I do in the grocery store.
You would think.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm talking about these altercations that I saw in public, and they were over masks. Absolutely over masks.
Yeah, but it was the negative side of that, though. I think in both cases that you mentioned to me, it was somebody that didn't want to wear a mask, and he was mad or she was mad that she was being told she had to. Now, a good point was brought up last night about that. You're required to wear seat belts. Nobody says that's an infringement upon your civil rights. You're required to all sorts of things you're required to do.
But it's a secondary offense, and you really don't have to wear it. You drive down the street any day, and people don't.
Yeah.
They have to pull you over for something else to give you a ticket for that.
In some states. Not all states anymore.
In this state.
Yeah. Is it true in this state?
Texting. Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my son was pulled over for that in New York, and that was a long time ago. So it depends on the state again. And each that is kind of weird how each state, and I believe in states' rights, but it's kind of weird how each state can make up their own rules about this. Make up their own rules about texting, make up their own rules. They don't make up their own rules about seatbelts. Seatbelts is a national thing, but anyway.
It's one of those things but I have seen it go the other way. I don't think every instance. Now, yes, there were the instances where somebody told somebody to put on a mask and that person got angry and it resulted in a bad situation. But there were also the situations where the person who had the mask on said, "Why don't you have a mask on?" And that started a fight. So it went both ways.
But that's just a question. That's
it wasn't a question the way they asked it.
Oh, okay. Well, if
it was a nasty, you're killing us all type of.
Well, people are stupid about how they respond to people. Like you and I agree, I think. Do what you think
exactly
is the right thing. But always follow the science. And we're not doing that right now in some instances.
The problem is that people have, like we've said before, friendships have been lost, many, over this. And I think...
Have you lost one over this?
No, because I don't argue about it.
Yeah, I haven't
I don't
lost
argue
one
about
yet.
It. I don't... I care for myself, much like every situation. It's like seatbelts or texting. I do what I think is right to keep myself safe, and that's how I treat this pandemic. I don't need to go and preach or try to convince somebody else of my belief because I know where that's going to go. It's the same thing with politics. That's why I don't feel the need to, you know what, they're going to believe what they're going to believe. I'm going to believe what I'm going to believe. Let it be that way.
Yeah, but keeping your mouth shut, and the reason why I do open my mouth about politics is by saying nothing, you aren't educating anybody, and you're not helping people understand the errors of their ways.
If you do it factually, but that's
factually,
not how people
absolutely
do it.
No.
What, see,
on both sides
And last week, I think we had this conversation on Thursday. There is, and I've heard it from the pundits, there's a double standard going on. And the example last week was what's going on with Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York with his alleged treatment of women and what Ted Cruz, got Republican from Texas, got yelled at about and criticized leaving the state during the snowstorm of Texas. Now, to me, one is a crime if proven, one is not. And that people treated those the same. The facts are just simply Andrew Cuomo, at this point, has been accused of doing improper things. The facts are Ted Cruz went on vacation because he says his family was worried. That's what he says. Mm-hmm. That's factual. During a snowstorm in Texas.
Wanted to get out of the cold.
Absolutely.
I understand that.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Now, that's factual. If you're trying to inform people on the situations, that's the facts. Where you start to leave the facts is where you say, that's disgraceful, that was wrong, that was... And see, then you're giving your opinion.
Yeah.
It's no longer educating people.
And if you say, in my opinion, that was a bad choice, that's okay. You can say
that. People can give their opinion. Yeah. I'm just saying that's the line I don't cross, is to say... they were right or they were wrong. Number one, it is the news thing because you want to have both people sides on. But also, it's just in general, as a human being, I don't feel the need to judge every move everybody makes. I do believe that if I tell somebody, for example, this case here on Cummins Avenue, I can tell you the facts of what happened without making any inferences. You're going to decide whether that's bad or good or bad. I don't have to tell you.
Well, it was bad because of the death.
But I say, I don't think I need to say that. I don't need to say, now, in my opinion, it's wrong to shoot your wife.
Yeah. No, I don't.
I think that's what we do all the time now. We'll tell the Ted Cruz story and we'll go, what a disgrace. No. See, that's not factual. The facts are what he did. The people will decide whether it was a disgrace or not.
Yeah, and I think it's probably a good idea, if you think it is a disgrace, to say, in my opinion, that's a disgraceful
right.
thing to do. Yeah.
But that's not educating anybody.
No. It is. It's educating people how you feel. But how you feel, what difference does it make to other people?
You know why? Because I like history. And a lot of times history is jaded out by people's opinions, and you don't get the facts. History, when it's written with an opinion, I know how that person felt, but I don't know the facts of the situation. You know, there are people, and I always use this example because he's clearly considered one of the worst people of our time, which is Hitler.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't? But you know what? I don't need anybody to tell me that Hitler was bad. All I need to know is what he did, and then I'll know he's bad.
Yeah.
When it's written, there are people who probably liked him. He was probably nice to little kids, and he was probably nice to certain people. He did have somebody he was engaged to who was willing to die for him on their wedding day.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, people did like him. I don't know that we need everybody's opinion.
Do you think that if the Germans had won the war, there would be a different opinion?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Me too.
History is written by the side who wins.
Yeah, the winner always writes the history.
Exactly.
And that's kind of a problem.
And that's why I don't like, it's a disgrace. Because you're educating people on your opinion, but that has nothing to do with the facts.
Well, if you say that's a disgrace, you're basically saying it is a fact when in fact it isn't a fact.
Right. Even if you say in my opinion, that's a disgrace.
Yeah, but then you're not saying it's a fact that it's a disgrace. You're just saying
Who does that?
I try to, but I don't always... succeed.
It just, to me, I have looked at both situations, and it's also even funny how people are tentative. The truth of the matter is, and just quickly to say this because we're going to go to break in 30 seconds, but Donald Trump has not been convicted of any crimes with women. So to make the inference at this point is still wrong. Same thing with Cuomo. He has not been convicted of any crimes with women. So to make the inference is wrong. People's ideology, they treat those differently at this particular point. And we're going to go to break and come back in 1 minute. Charlie, do you know because of you, more Marian residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 BC than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 BC in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Opiates. has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Scott Spears, Glenn Kobo back with you. 46 minutes past the hour. Phone lines open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have an opinion on anything we're talking about this morning, we've talked about Cummins Avenue, the big incident there on Monday. We had the police chief on earlier on. If you want to talk about that, we're talking about political leanings and how it changes history. We've also talked about the way things are in this country, how we give advice, so on and so forth. So the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But it to me, I guess the political thing is just interesting because I can even, I've listened long enough and watched long enough to now even be able to tell in somebody's voice when they don't like somebody. And this is why they don't let people who have
personal... You haven't figured that I don't like you yet.
Well, I knew that. I knew from the first time. But, you know, this is why they don't let people who have personal feelings about somebody on a jury for this exact reason.
In that... It's interesting. Excuse me. You caught me in the middle of my
coffee. Yeah, and a drink there. I should have talked a little longer.
Isn't it interesting how difficult they're having finding a jury for... what is the... Is it for the? It's for one of the people that was involved in the riot, and they're having a difficult time finding people because everybody saw it.
Oh yeah, well I don't know how you get around that.
It's the guy that wore the horns. They're having a hard time finding.
Well,
jury
because he became the face of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he acted very stupid too.
Well, you know what? See, that,
I know that's an opinion.
That's an opinion. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, see, that, seriously, when you give the facts of something, do you think people don't get it? How many people do you think miss the point?
What point?
Like if I were to come on and say New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has been accused of inappropriate relationships with women. Now, do you think I need to tell them that that's good or bad before, for them to get it?
I truly don't. But I think it's kind of the way we are. We like, for some reason or other, we like to find out that somebody else is doing something bad because it makes us feel like we're doing something good.
Well, like I was talking with the chief earlier on, people will not resign their posts locally, statewide, or nationally.
Yeah, I didn't follow that up. Why did you say they won't resign their posts?
Well, they don't. If you're accused of something, it used to be you would resign because it took up so much of your time, and especially if it was proven to be somewhat true, not a complete misallegation, but like here locally, we know there was an incident with Judge Warner. Now, whether it was wrong or right, or it's in court now.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did not resign. Now, statewide, we certainly had Householder, who was accused and of certain things. He has not resigned.
He's lost his post in the Republican
Party. But he also got reelected.
He got reelected.
In the midst of it.
Yeah.
And nationally, we've got Cuomo, who has been accused of things. And he is not resigning. People don't anymore. They just ride it along.
I'm not sure they ever did, the big name people in politics. If they thought they could get away with it, they would ride it to the end. I think that's happened with a lot of...
Yeah, but it used to be that people left you. I mean, does anybody remember the name Gary Hart?
Yeah.
Does anybody... I mean...
Yeah, they left him like rats off a ship.
And he was big.
Yeah.
You know, it's happened like that.
You know, I felt sorry for him. Not that I approve of what he supposedly did, but I thought he kind of got railroaded.
Well, you know,
much like the guy you interviewed that I keep forgetting his name from Minnesota, the senator.
Al Franken.
Al Franken. I kind of think he got railroaded. He got railroaded by his own party.
And what does that say?
That's weird. But it was he was railroaded by the women of his party, and I think a lot of women have a lot of reasons to associate with that. I'll tell you one thing, that situation and also the Monica Lewinsky situation have made me think about what I did as a young man. And there are things I'm not proud of. I wasn't a masher or anything, but, you know, I was once told when I was selling cars for 2 years, I was told by my sales manager, just sell it like you're trying to get your girlfriend to go to bed with you. Now, how terrible is that, an indictment of the way men think? That's a pretty bad indictment. And that always offended me that he said that. I tried not to do that.
Well, you know, it works the other way, too. It's not like the women are always angelic.
I always thought they were. I truly did. I thought, I still think women are a lot better. I'd rather have a woman president than a man president, quite frankly. And well, that's probably wrong.
I think it depends. I think it depends on the person.
Oh, it absolutely does. I don't want that lady that's the governor of South Dakota to be the president of the United States. But I think the temperament in women seems to be a little more thoughtful than in men.
I say it depends on the person. I've known a lot of women who the temperament was completely off, and their decision making process was completely off.
Do you think nature, though, the male is always the brutish one in the families of the mountain lions or the tigers or the deer or whatever. The male is always the one that tries to stab the other male with his horns. Rarely a female elephant will take care of other elephants' babies when the other elephant has passed away. I think it's kind of a nature thing. Now, I know some women that I wouldn't trust that way. I know some women that would let that baby elephant just die. But I also know, it just seems to me, I know this is terribly vague, but it seems to me that women have a better temperament for thinking through decision making.
Well, I just know that there are some people. You know what I have thought about lately, interestingly enough, is that the degree to which people will hold a grudge.
Oh.
That people will get angry at somebody and they won't talk to them and they never let them know why. They never say why. And a lot of times to their own detriment. They miss having that person in their life, but yet they will never say that. Because apparently there's some big... I don't know what it is, big sign of weakness, I guess, if you come back and say, you know, I would like you back in my life.
There's also a sign of weakness if you say to somebody, I did this recently, where if you say to somebody, I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's really hard for a young man to do that. It was hard for me as a young man to do that. Very hard.
I would never know because I don't know that that's ever happened. In my case.
That you've been wrong?
That I've been wrong.
That's true. In your case, probably that is true. There is that halo. Oh, by the way, your halo is slipping a little.
A little bit. A little to the side.
But, you know, I think you throw me off.
Well, I just thought we'd tell we got to tell the truth. I mean, we've got to tell the truth.
You're so full of it.
Well, I don't know. You know, somebody said of me recently, and it made me laugh out loud when I saw it. They said, as if there are two different people. The person on air is completely different than the person off air. And I thought, really? I did not know this.
You don't put your pants on the same way as the guy that walks down the hallway puts his pants on?
I guess not. Go ahead, caller.
Well, of course, I got to get my 2 cents in.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The only thing that really irritates me about these accusations when they pop up, and they are accusations because they haven't been proven.
That's right.
Is why they come up 10, 12, 15, 20 years after the event occurred. Now, to me, that always gives me the thought that this is politically motivated.
Yeah, and I
still think Al Franken got a raw deal. I don't care what anybody says. I think Al Franken was in the Senate doing a fantastic job, and I think there were people, even in his own party, were concerned that he was going to upset the apple cart, and I think that's why he got booted. But I do get irritated when these things come up so many years and months and whatever after they've occurred.
Fred, can you give us an example of something like that? I'm trying to think of something that took that long to pop up.
Well, what's going on now with Cuomo? Some of these events happened several years ago.
Yeah.
And it's happened with other politicians in the past. Al Franken's was not a recent occurrence.
No, I didn't know that.
It was years in past when he was still doing comedy. He wasn't even in politics then.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, most of Bill Clinton's, other than Monica Lewinsky, they had been years prior.
Right, absolutely. And that's the thing that really irritates me. To me, it's either politically motivated or it's financially motivated.
Oh, now, the background to that might have been, in most of these cases, they had better PR people that could hide it longer.
I won't dispute that, but I still think that, and I'm not saying that's the case all the time, because I think there are instances where it does happen, and it's covered up for whatever reason. But I think in a lot of these cases, when one person makes an accusation, then a half a dozen others jump on the bandwagon because they start to see dollar signs.
Publicity
or book deals or whatever the case might be.
Well, I want to get this in because it's an interesting topic because one that was not, I don't believe, politically motivated, but was basically from yesteryear and sometimes 50 years earlier, Bill Cosby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Look how long that went on.
Yeah. So what, I mean, you know, almost all of those cases were so old that they were out of the statute of limitations.
But you know, in all those cases that I'm thinking of, the person who was finally charged with something like that had so much money that they could buy your silence. Now, I truly believe you should be brave enough to say it right off the bat,
sure.
But that's not the way life is.
If I told you
that I had done something wrong to you, but I'm going to give you $1 million to keep your mouth shut, you'd have to think long and hard whether you needed the $1 million.
Well, and I can't point out particular cases, but I know just having read and studied politics for my entire life that there are cases where people have accepted hush money and then still came out, you know, 15, 20 years later and brought it up again.
Yeah.
Money doesn't always buy permanence. Right?
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
The case that Bill Cosby went to prison for, the only case that they could try him on, had been settled and the court records had been sealed and she had been paid money.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
It was because a judge decided to unseal a hush order, which I'm still not sure how that happened. But
I'm still not sure whether that's totally legal or not, but apparently the better legal minds than mine thought it was.
I guess. Now, the other thing on that is that if they can make it last a long time, statutes of limitation pop in sometimes.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. One more thing, and I'll let you guys get back to your conversation. I was in a bookstore yesterday, and I always check out what new books are coming out. And there was a new one on the shelf. I didn't buy it, but I've got it on my list. Sex and the Presidents.
What was the name of it?
Sex and the Presidents.
It's a new book
going all the way back to George Washington.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Supposedly escapades of all the presidents that had relationships After you read it,
we got to do a show on that.
Is this going to go back to...
It's probably worth a whole show.
Oh, man. Poor Abe Lincoln. That's going to pop up again, I'm telling you. It's going to pop up. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, we'll talk to you later.
Take care, Fred.
Bye.
And on that note, in 19 seconds, we're going to go to break. But you know what they've said about Abe Lincoln?
What?
I'm not going to bring it up again. Every time I bring that up, somebody starts having a conniption. But I didn't say it. It was true.
I don't know what you're going to say.
I'll tell you later on.
Okay, tell me in the break.
Yeah, we're going to go to break. Back in 15 minutes with much more here. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk.
When we're joined, this is great pride and privilege, for the first time by Joy Behar. You told a show after you left The View, Leno, that